Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, not just on our soil, but Lord, let it produce enough fruit, Lord God, that other people can come and be partakers of what we have sowed in our hearts tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come against every spirit of confusion right now by the power and the authority that's in the name of Jesus. Lord God, I'm asking, Lord, that you would deliver. I'm asking, God, that you would set free. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would do miracles in this building by the power and the authority that's in the name of Jesus. Lord God, I'm asking, God, that your glory would fill this house, would fill this tabernacle today. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, let your glory, Lord God, fall in this place by the power that is in the name of Jesus. Lord God, I'm asking, Lord, that you will overthrow every stronghold, destroy every yoke in this place, Lord. Breaks every chains tonight, Lord, by the power and the authority that's in the name of Jesus. Lord God, I'm asking, Lord, that you would heal homes, that you would heal marriages, Lord God, that you would heal children, Lord, by the power that is in the name of Jesus. Lord, let there be an equipping of the saints tonight, Father, by the power that's in the name of Jesus. I'm asking, God, that you would destroy the root of bitterness in people's hearts tonight, Lord, by the power that's in the name of Jesus. Lord, I'm asking, God, those that are sweeping stuff up under the rug, I'm asking, Lord, let that thing come up from up under the rug and let it be placed underneath the feet of your people tonight by the power that's in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we worship you. Lord God, we praise you. Lord God, we lift you up. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we bind every spirit, Lord God, in this house. We bind every spirit that's attacking their houses. We bind every spirit that's in this area. We come against the principality and every stronghold that's in the place right now. And the power that's in the name of Jesus, we command the high places to come down right now in the name of Jesus. We release peace in this building. We release joy in this building. We release peace in this city. We release joy in this city. And the power that's in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we release breakthrough. We release deliverance. We release faith. We release boldness. Come on, church. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now put your hands together and give the Lord some praise. You can be seated. I don't really think I have a title for tonight, but I do have a word from the Lord. I was around last week, I believe it was last Thursday. I woke up Thursday morning, celebrated 40 years of life, May the 23rd. I sat back and I began to think about how at one time I didn't think that I would ever see the age of 40. Better yet, I never thought I would see the age of 25. I began to think about life. Think about how I was able to defy through the grace and mercies of God. Defy the statistics of people that are in my area. I knew that when I woke up on Thursday morning, that it was not by any doing of my own, but it was all by the grace and by the mercies of God. The scripture declares that it is by his mercy that we're not consumed. As I woke up and as my wife looked at me and told me happy birthday, she went downstairs. And as she went downstairs and my son was getting ready to pray and start his day off for homeschool, I began to talk to God again. And as I began to talk to him, after a while there was a level of silence. And I remember almost what I would call the spirit of anxiety or fear began to come in the room. And as that began to happen, I began to think about the fact that I said, man, I'm 40 years old. It used to be that when I was 15, I knew that I probably had 15 more years left. And even though the Bible lets us know that no man is promised tomorrow, there's still that assumption that most likely, in the hearts of many young people, we have it in our hearts that most likely we'll be here 15 years from now. And if you're 20 years old, you believe that you'll be here possibly 20 years from now. But a person would say, Brother Hurt, what was the difference between 39 and 40? I guess for 10 years living in my 30s, I never attached myself to the number that comes after 3. But after I turned 31, I identified myself as someone that was in his 30s. But when I woke up on Thursday morning, I realized that there was a reality that sunk in, that there's a strong possibility that 40 years from now, I will cease to exist here on earth. And then I began to think about how my grandfather passed, and he was in his mid-70s. And then I began to think about how my father passed, and he was just 61 a few years ago. So as I began to think about that, then all of a sudden I became extremely overwhelmed. Because then I said, man, if my father was gone in 61, then what is that going to put me, somewhere in my 50s? And I began to think about how long it took for 20 to, how fast it took for 20 to get to 40. And then when that happened, there was a strong reality that hit me that says I need to prepare myself to see the Lord. I began to think about it. It's not that I was one that was not living with the intent that Jesus could come today or tomorrow. But I would say that the longer that I live, there's more of an emphasis placed upon whether or not what I am doing is pleasing in the heart of God. You have to understand that a person would say, Brother Hurd, what happened between the time of you being 39 and the day you woke up and you were 40, when I got out of that bed, it was not that I just woke up to another day, but something awoke in my spirit. A reality that this world does not want many of us to look at. Last night, yesterday, we talked about the importance of having expectation. Not just expectation that comes from a doctor. Not expectation that comes from your attorney. Not expectation that comes from a friend, family member, or coworker. I'm talking about that kind of expectation that comes from God. A God that says he changeth not. He is not a liar. He is the truth. And everything that he has ever spoken has always come to pass. He said, my word will go forth and will not return back void, but it will accomplish what it is set out to do. I found myself realizing that it is possible to quote a lot of scripture, but it not truly register in the heart of man the way that it ought to register. What do you mean? You're going to understand that we know that God is the truth. But many of us live in a place of fear more than we live in a place of peace. Because we have more of an expectation of what the devil is going to do than we have an expectation of what God said he's going to do. And even when it deals with the areas that God said that I've given you power and authority to change those areas, many of us relinquish our authority to the enemy because we assume that the enemy's agenda is greater than our capability of obeying the voice of God in seeing something change. I've come to tell every person in this room today that God wants all of us to begin to examine ourselves. I'm not here tonight to talk to you so much about the importance alone of making sure that you see Jesus' face in peace. I'm not here to preach to you tonight about the rapture. I believe that when we have it made up in our mind that we're going to serve the Lord and that we want to see his face in peace, I can go to many churches around this country and out of this country, and I can find people that never went back to the ballroom. They never went back to the club. They never went back to that ungodly relationship. They never picked up a bottle. They never picked up a cigarette anymore. They have made up in their mind that they want to avoid hell. They want to make heaven their destination. But there's something that has occurred in the body of Christ and in the church. And I want to talk to you because Paul is addressing the church that is at Rome. And he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. What you do with your body is not for your agenda. But what you do with your body is supposed to be for a sacrifice. You're either going to sacrifice unto God or you're going to sacrifice unto the devil. You're either going to sacrifice unto God or you're going to sacrifice unto mammon. You're either going to sacrifice unto God or you're going to sacrifice unto the fast life. But can I tell you that whatever you commit your body to, there's an altar somewhere in close proximity that you're making a sacrifice to. Every time you take that alcohol and you put it in your system, there's a sacrifice that is being made. And I've come to tell you that many of us are not sacrificing in the Seagram's gin. We're not sacrificing in the vodka. But can I tell you that the withholding of your body and the giving of your body to fulfill your own agenda and your own desires is also making a sacrifice, except you're making a sacrifice unto the pleasure of self. What do you mean, Brother Hurt? You've got to understand, praise God, that Paul is addressing this church in Rome, and he is wanting Rome to understand that it is mandatory that the body that you have, the tabernacle that you have, the house that you have, it is imperative that you present it before God. I've come to tell every person in this room that God is desiring to do something powerful in this church. God is desiring to do something powerful in this region. God is designed to do something powerful in this country. God is designed to do something powerful in this city and in this nation and in this world. But can I tell you, church, that if I go around the world, there are many churches that are all saying the same thing. God has said the same thing. But can I tell you that just because God said he's going to do this thing doesn't mean it's going to happen if you don't comply and cooperate with what God wants to do next in your life. What do you mean, Brother Hurt? Many of us, praise God, you know how it is. I've been to places and sometimes people are looking for the next best church or the next best thing. I was talking to a preacher not long ago, and I said, some people think that, praise God, that what they're looking for is they're not looking for a place that is going to tell me to die out to myself. They're not looking for a place that's going to tell me that I've got to leave people behind. Not looking for a place that's going to tell me that I've got to leave the adulterous relationship, or I've got to leave the ballroom behind, or I've got to leave some friends and some family members behind. They don't want to go to places like that. They're looking for something that will promise them salvation without them having to deny themselves. Can I tell you, church, that every church preaching Christ is not preaching Jesus the Christ? And I don't care if they're baptizing in Jesus' name or not. Because I've come to tell you that it takes more than just a baptism to follow Jesus. It takes the leading of a spirit. I've come to tell you that there are people that are filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but yet led by the spirit of an antichrist. What do you mean? They deny Christ and receive self. They deny Christ and fulfill the agenda of self. Can I tell you, church, that God does not want us to fulfill our agenda. He wants us to fulfill his agenda. So what are you saying, Brother Hurt? You got to understand, praise God, that the reason why you're living a consecrated life, the reason why you're living a life of sacrifice, the reason why you're living a life that is holy and acceptable unto God, it is not for the intent of you just getting your ticket to heaven. You got to understand, praise God, that God does not leave you here on earth, praise the Lord, just so you can work your way into heaven. But can I tell you, praise God, that Jesus said, lest the corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it dies, it's going to bring forth much fruit. You got to understand, church, that the word of God, that the word of God that was planted in the earth, praise the Lord, is now planted on the inside of you, and it's planted with a purpose, it's planted with a plan, and God said, I have a desire to fulfill that plan, not only for your life. You gotta understand that it's more than just for your life. It's for the plan and the perfect will of God. Mother Hurry, you gotta understand. Praise God. I went somewhere not long ago and a person met me after church and they were looking for me to give them a prophetic word. Sometimes I believe that people are more interested in getting their fortune told than they are getting some direction from the Lord. I've come to tell every person in this room that God said, I want to give you some direction. You gotta understand, praise God, that God wants to set you on a pathway. You gotta understand that we are on a road, we're on a journey somewhere. And can I tell you that maybe God might have used some painful experience in your life to bring you to an altar. Maybe somebody died and said death that took place in your life brought you to a place of hopelessness. And when you came to Jesus, you didn't come to Jesus just looking for salvation, but you originally came to Jesus because you were looking for someone that was going to give you a peace of mind. Maybe there's somebody in this room, you were on the verge of losing everything. So what happened was you decided to come to church with somebody and they told you that Jesus could supply all of your needs. You were looking for a relationship. You were looking for a supplier. Can I tell you, church, that there is an agenda that's in this world. There's something that's in the culture of this world, church, that we're looking for Jesus to supply all of our needs, but we're not looking for him to be the direction for our life. Can I tell you, church, that God is looking more than just putting money in your bank account? He has a bigger plan than just making you feel good. He has a bigger plan than just making you feel happier. Can I tell you that his plan is bigger than your happiness? His plan is bigger than your agenda. Somebody is saying, you gotta understand, praise God, that the man of God, that this apostle, praise the Lord, is speaking to the church of Rome, and he is talking to them. He said, but be not conformed unto this world. Can I tell you, church, that what's going on, praise the Lord, is that there's something that has happened within the body of Christ. You gotta understand, praise the Lord began to speak to me with even greater clarity. He began to open my mind and my heart up to some things. Praise the Lord, over the past few years, that there was something that happened in my bedroom on Thursday morning, to the place where God said, George, he said, you got to understand, praise the Lord, that everybody that comes to church, praise the Lord, is not coming, praise the Lord, with the purpose of fulfilling my agenda, but they're coming with the purpose of fulfilling their agenda. You've got to understand, church, that what's going on, praise the Lord, is something has occurred. You've got to understand, the Bible declares, take heed in how you build. You've got to understand that there is no other foundation that has been laid except the foundation that was laid upon the apostles and the prophets. You've got to understand that no man can come and lay another foundation. No prophet can come and lay another foundation. I don't care how anointed he is. I don't care how anointed she is. I don't care how many devils a person cast out. I don't care how much they speak in other tongues. You're going to understand, praise God, unless they are building upon the original foundation of the apostles and prophets, it's not going to last. It's not going to be a Book of Acts church. It might be a church, but it won't be the Book of Acts church. It might be a church, but it will not reflect what the apostles built. It will not reflect what the apostles did. and what's going on, you're going to understand. You've ever met somebody, praise the Lord, that goes through life and you know that they've got an issue, you know that they've got a problem, but people have a tendency to believe that time just heals everything. But can I tell you, church, that if I get on I-70 and I decide that I'm going to miss my exit, and I'm supposed to get on I-70 and head to Columbus from Indianapolis and get off the exit, but yet I keep going straight, praise the Lord, I don't care how much time I keep driving, unless I turn around and I make some adjustments and head back in the direction of my destination, I'm not going to get to where I think I'm going. Can I tell you, church, that we have gone too far? There's something that has happened, praise the Lord, and what's happened is we've got to check and see, alright, what are we building upon? You're going to understand, praise the Lord, if you're built upon that solid rock, amen, stay there. But my friend, do not ever try to become like somebody else, praise the Lord, it's building upon some other system. You got to understand, praise God, that there are many different type of churches, there are many different kind of religions, there are many different kind of congregations, there are many different kind of denominations, but can I come to tell you that when Jesus comes back, he's only coming back for one church, he's only coming back for that when it's baptized in the name of Jesus and filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost by evidence of speaking in other tongues. He's not coming back for anything else. But can I tell you, church, that not only is he coming back for that, but he's coming back for his sons. Can I tell you that the Lord is not coming back for a Holy Ghost filled church, he's coming back for a Holy Ghost led church, he's coming back for somebody that knows the voice of God. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and another one they will not follow. Can I tell you, church, that something happened, praise the Lord, not long after Paul wrote this letter. Many of us know it as the Council of Nicaea. We understand that what they desired to do was bring in a whole other agenda. What do you mean the church was turning nations upside down? You gotta understand, it did not take a whole congregation to turn a city upside down. The Lord would send people full of the Holy Ghost, two men full of the Holy Ghost would enter into a city, even though it looked like these men would not learn. When you get two men that have been with Jesus, the devil cannot stop them. Hell cannot stop them. The nation cannot stop them. These men went into the city and they turned the city upside down. I've come to tell you, church, they're not going to turn them upside down with movie theater seats. They're not going to turn it upside down with flashy lights and a smoke screen. They're not going to turn it upside down with a great band. They're not going to turn it upside down looking like rock stars and tight pants. But it takes the power of the Holy Ghost. It takes the anointing of the Holy Ghost. It takes the spirit of the living God. I don't care if they've got a crown. If there's no crown, you're not going anywhere at all. You're leading them to the Broadway. You're leading them to the broad gate. And many have been there, go thereof. You've got to understand, I need a straight gate preacher. I need a straight great word. I need a straight gate destination. What road are you on? He said, Mother Hurd, you got to understand, praise God, these men had this ability to go in. Listen, these men were not men that were extremely learned. These men, praise God, did not go to the Bible college, praise the Lord. These men were just your average, ordinary day kind of men. But what's happened, church, is that when the Catholic Church was birthed at the Council of Nicaea, what happened was they wanted to strip the authority authority away from the people. I've come to tell you, church, you got to get off this welfare mentality. You got to get off this welfare mentality. I'm looking for the preacher to do everything for me. Maybe you're not on welfare. Maybe you're not on food stamps. But is your spirit on food stamps? Are you spiritually on welfare? Are you looking for somebody to do what God has empowered you to do? Are you waiting for church service to come around when you could have took care of that situation? Are you bringing your children to the house of God for the preacher to pray for them? Why don't you have any oil burning in your lamp? Why don't you have an altar in your house? Why is it the power of God in your sanctuary if there's no power in your house? You've got to understand, church, that this man of God, these men of God went into an area. You got to understand that when a man decides that he is going to consecrate himself, when a person says, I'm going to present my body a living sacrifice. What do you mean? I'm not going to present it a dead sacrifice. I'm not going to wait till my deathbed repentance and then say, Lord, here I am. I'm talking about the kind of sacrifice that says, you know what, Lord? I spent a good part of my life, but I'm getting ready to give you everything that's left for me. I don't care what people got to say. They may say, don't take all of that. They may say, live life a little bit. They might say, just enjoy the pleasures of life a little bit. But I've come to tell you, this world is not my home. I go into a city whose builder and maker is God. I don't have time to prepare a place for myself. He's preparing a place for me. I've got to work the work while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. You got to work the work. You got to pray. You got to fast. You gotta seek the face of God. You gotta preach to your neighbor. You gotta preach to your employer. You gotta preach to your employee. You gotta preach this thing around your city. What happened? Catholic Church comes in and they decide that what we're going to do, we're going to begin to eliminate the name. You got to understand, church, that there's no transactions that can take place in the spirit realm without the name. What happened was they needed the people to get out of the streets. You don't see anybody getting the Holy Ghost, praise the Lord, in any synagogues in the Bible. Everybody that got the Holy Ghost, they got the Holy Ghost on the street corner. You don't see folks getting demons cast out of them in the synagogue. Every time you saw demon get cast out of somebody, they were in the street somewhere. Can I tell you, church, we have become so comfortable with being on the inside that we don't know what to do when we go outside. Can I tell you that God don't want a domesticated church? Don't you know that God did not fill you with the Holy Ghost to lock you up in a cage? Why is it that you know how to walk around the porch but you can't come off the porch? Why is it that you got the million in the cage? Can I tell you that we're going around and we went from smaller cages to now we're big and building bigger cages. We build bigger cages. Why do you call them cages? Some of us think that we got sanctuaries. We ain't got no sanctuary. We got a big old dog cage. You're building bigger prisons and bigger prisons and bigger prisons. I've come to tell you, I've got to have the power of the Holy Ghost. Some of us need to take our resources and take our time and say, let me fill the city with the Spirit of God. I've come to tell you, it's time to get out and seek and save the lost. Yes, Lord. What are you saying? Amen. The culture that we are living in is not the culture that the apostles handed to us. Nobody likes to talk about it. But listen, I'm not saying that we haven't done anything. I'm not saying that it hasn't been somewhat effective. But can I tell you that if you have cylinder engine and six of the spark plugs are bad. You might be able to go somewhere, but that vehicle is not going to run the way that it could run if you fix all eight of the cylinders. You saying, Brother Hurt? The apostles gave us. Jesus said, not only do I pray for these, but I pray for those that shall believe on me through their word. And what is happening is we have said, we got people that have other systems, and the systems that they're using conflict with the biblical system, the kingdom of God. What are you saying, Brother Hurt? I'm talking about when Nicaea came and put everybody. Now people are not going out. Now people are not opening up their homes. Now people are not knocking on doors. Now people no longer have the responsibility to do ministry. They appoint people in place to do the ministry that they're called to do themselves. And what is happening is that over time, they faithfully keep coming, but without a purpose. If you keep coming, you'll go to heaven. But when you see where they assemble themselves in the scripture, it was so that it could impact what happened out there in the streets. The Bible says that when they told them, not to preach or teach anymore in Jesus' name, or they were going to kill them. Immediately they called a prayer meeting. What do you mean? We function, we have better participation in a worship service than we do in a prayer meeting. We got people that know how to sing the glory down, but don't know how to pray the glory down. We know every song in the song book, but we don't know the voice of God. What are you saying, Brother Hurt? I'm saying that what you see that has become the norm, and it's trying to be the norm, will not be standing when Jesus comes back. You see, Brother Hurt? You understand? He has told them, die out to self. The Vatican says, will die out for you. And what happens is, over a period of time, people, generations pass. Now people no longer know how to do the simple kingdom fundamentals. Even to the place where they no longer know how to deal with the foundational things of repentance and baptisms. And over time, you see the church shifting. You see that model shifting. We know, we see how there was great change and how there was great uprising, and you had your reformation periods and you had your holiness periods, and everybody was trying to get back to the original teachings of the apostles. But even in the apostolic church, we're following a model.
What do you mean, Brother Hurt? I'm not saying that we... It takes more than baptism in the name of Jesus to separate us from the Vatican. The Vatican was put in place to take authority away from you so that you won't have dominion and they will have the dominion. We understand that when the Antichrist comes, we understand that the Antichrist will be a political leader and the false prophet will be a spiritual leader. The Vatican cannot afford to have the church walking in spiritual authority. You got to understand, church, that the longer we stay conformed unto the ways of this spiritual world, we're going to neglect the perfect will of God for our life. Yep, sir. Yes, sir. What are you saying, Brother Hurt? He says, be not conformed to this world. Can I tell you that the world is more than just drinking and smoking? Is the Antichrist spirit of the world or is it of the kingdom? It's of the world. The world not only has a political system, the world has a spiritual system. What separates us from the world is the systems. The spirit that we're led by. The word that we take in. Are you walking after the fundamentals of this world? Are you walking after the principles of the kingdom of God? He said, because what God wants to do and what God's doing, the sons of God are going to be made manifest. And what's going to happen is what has become abnormal in the body, the Lord is getting ready to make it the norm. What do you mean? It should be that people are getting the Holy Ghost around the clock. Not just having, you know, we got baptism Sundays now. I'm not, and listen to me. I don't preach in this area. I haven't preached in Ohio in years, all right? I'm not taking any shots at anybody. But listen to me. When the Ethiopian eunuch needed to be baptized, he didn't wait till Sunday. We need to have somebody walking in authority and say, you know what? What doth hinder you to be baptized? We can baptize you right now. There's some water. We need to start taking people to the creek. We need to start taking people to the swimming pool. We need to start taking people to the bathtub, to the whirlpool. I've come to tell you, if you want to have revival in the neighborhood, baptize them in the neighborhood. But if you only want to have revival in the church, keep baptizing them in the church. If you can find your apostolic authority and your apostolic move of God to a building, you will never seep out of it. Sooner or later, you got to take what's in here out there. The Bible declares that when the Holy Ghost filled the house on the day of Pentecost, the Bible says it filled the house where they were sitting in. And after it filled the house, then God filled the people that were in the house. Church, we keep trying to get them to fill this house. The filling of the house is so that he can fill the people so that the people can go out of the house. Get your homes full of the Holy Ghost so that you can go out of your home and go next door. Get your schools
full of the Holy Ghost. Because after you feel after you get one of your friends and say, we're going to have a prayer meeting, and the Holy Ghost fills that room, and then you get full of the Holy Ghost, you can walk out of your neighbor in the hallway. I don't care what been the norm, how the norm is being. When you step out there, you're stepping out there in apostolic authority. You're stepping out there in dominion. And at that moment, the stuff that has been no longer has to be. You have the authority to cast out devils. You have the authority to lay hands on the sick and they recover. You have the authority to preach. You have the authority.
Yes, sir. Praise God.
What do you mean? Most of the time we think of being conformed unto the world as something that is already in us. But listen, conforming is not something that's just already been there or something that you've come or that that you have to just come out of. But conforming, you can conform unto something that maybe you weren't introduced to before. For instance, if you're sitting back and you're talking to someone and here's a basic principle. If I'm sitting back and I'm talking to you and you bring up Sister Sally to me and you and your friends start talking real bad about Sister Sally, but I refuse to stand up upon the scripture and take authority over the conversation or take authority over and say, you know what? This is not right. This is discord sowing. This is backbiting. Why? Because listen, don't think you're going to take authority and take dominion over the city if you can't take dominion over what comes into your heart. The Bible declares a man that hath not control over his own spirit is like a city without walls. If a person comes and they're having a conversation, I have the responsibility to either stand up or conform. And listen, we're living in a world right now, especially here in the United States of America. And not just in America, I travel overseas too. It's happening overseas. But here, everybody has to conform. And now we're saying if you don't conform, you're not using wisdom. The Bible says, Paul said, I became all things that I may win some. But he did not conform to the system. He did not conform to the spirit or to the culture that he was trying to snatch people out of. So what do you say? We have a responsibility to say, you know what? I'm getting ready to be transformed. What do you mean? That means you've got to take, you can no longer go around comparing yourself to somebody else. You know, I remember people who say, Brother Hurd, when are you going to slow down? When are you going to do this? When are you going to do that? And sometimes you get people that'll make you feel bad because you're not taking vacations to Paris every 3 months. There is something about the culture. I keep using the word culture because in the world you're dealing with culture and you're dealing with systems. The system of the kingdom of God is deny yourself. You come in last. God comes in first. And everybody else is next. What do I do for myself? You die out to self.
What do you say? If you measure, the Bible says, somewhere along the, right before that scripture, he said something about thinking more highly of yourself than what you ought to think. What was the scripture before that? There was something in that scripture before that where it says, don't think more highly of yourself than what you ought to think. But we're supposed, no, after that, it's, but think soberly. As God has given what? All men a measure of faith. We're not supposed to measure ourselves by each other. But you do know that the more you come out from the ways of this world and you allow your mind to be transformed, it is for the intent that you may prove what is good and acceptable. Listen, we can no longer. There are churches that are growing, what we call growing. That means they've got great attendance. But when the Lord comes back, He's not going to judge you based off of just your Sunday attendance. Because there are people that attend faithfully that are still smoking, that are still drinking, that are still bitter, that are still envious. A crowd is not how you gauge success. Death is. Death, what comes after you die? The greatest day or the greatest victory that you will ever have will be the day you die. You're not going to understand it right now, man. But it will be the day you die. So what do I do between now and then? It's time to decrease. It's time for me to cast out fear. It's time for me to love God and to love truth to the place where I would rather reject myself than to reject truth. How many, if you had billions of dollars worth of seed and then you had soil, what do you value the most, the soil or the seed? Huh? You don't value that seed, right? Because if that soil don't produce, you know what you're going to do? You go buy, you can go somewhere else and go buy, find some soil somewhere else. But that seed, you've got to love that seed more than you love yourself. The best thing you can do is surrender. And that's what soil does. It's surrender, even though it may be bigger in stature. It surrenders itself to the seed. And God said, it is time to surrender. Because when you do that, there becomes a new norm. I'm talking about the norm that when we say have revival, we think about a preacher coming in, a bunch of services, and everything happening in one building. When Jesus comes back, that's not what revival is going to look like. We're praying for another Azusa Street. God wants to do something bigger than Azusa Street. We're praying for another upper room. Day of Pentecost. He wants to do something bigger than the Day of Pentecost. I'm talking about something bigger than just having crusades. Why? Because listen, I've done crusades and I've seen folks get the Holy Ghost and they go right back out there and they start doing what they were doing before. There has to be something that happens to the hearts of men. You can't change hearts preaching jellyback stuff. You cannot change hearts removing the conviction out of messages. Hearts are only changed when you begin to attack the very thing that your heart loves, but God said leave. Your heart has to feel torn. Your heart has to feel broken. The Bible said that when they heard this in their heart, they were pricked. True repentance will not come without a pricking. And if you're not, and if you are afraid to prick your friend, if you are afraid to prick your cousin, if you are afraid to prick your co-worker, if you're afraid to bring them to church because they might get pricked, they'll never get saved without a pricking. True biblical repentance will require a pricking of the heart. And listen, I get some of these elders that have been around. They were here, got the Holy Ghost in the 50s and got the Holy Ghost years ago. Some of them were raised. The only reason why they're still in church was because of that. But what happens? God starts blessing us and we start taking the money that he's used to bless us and we start preparing a place of comfort. Listen, if whenever we start taking the stuff that God has given us to prepare a place for ourselves and our hearts are filled with more expectation with what we can prepare down here versus for what he's preparing over there, there's something going wrong. And what God is saying today, he says, I want all of you. I want all of you. And when that happens, you know what's going to happen? It doesn't take a long time. It says, you know what? Because listen, if you were to take, I remember talking to, if you were to take a person that dies right now and they step foot in hell, Lazarus, I mean the rich man, said, Lord, if you could, get me out of here. Let me go back. He said, first he wanted something to drink. Then he said, man, just take the tip of Lazarus' finger and put it up, dip it in some water and put it on my tongue. He was tormented. And then he said, Lord, if you could, let me get out of here and at least go preach to my friends. You notice that he wanted a drink of water for himself, but he didn't want to get out of hell just for himself. He wanted to get out of hell for somebody else. Listen, church. Many of us are living our life without concern for anybody else but ourselves. And hell is full of rich men that are more concerned about the people that you won't reach. Listen, there are, he was one in the intercede, but it was too late. Sometimes I wonder if hell has more willing vessels to evangelize than vessels that occupy churches on Sunday and Wednesday nights. Because when we step out and we say, you know what? God gave us just a, I'm not talking about a fear, because listen, you're not going to serve God by just fear. You're going to have to fall in love with them. But when there's a true love, and if you ask God to give you a love for him, the best thing to do is be honest with God. I was talking to somebody the other day, and he said, you know, brother, you know, I love God. I said, brother, listen, you don't. I said, you don't. And we don't want to say that, because if we say that, it's like, how can I say? Because we don't want to come. Listen, if you don't believe it now, you'll believe it when you're standing before him. And he will judge your love by his word. The Bible says judgment begins at the house of God. Listen, if you can't be convicted in the house of God now, when you get convicted over there, there is no exoneration. See, at least conviction over here, you can repent and put it under the blood. So you know, every time we come to church, court's in session. The books are open. We have the responsibility of saying, all right, this is what's going on in my heart. Lord, I need you to transform my mind. I need to come up higher. I need to come up to a different place, Lord. I need to come up higher. If your children don't serve the Lord, don't let the choices that other people make rob you of the joy and peace that God has given you. The Bible says, let this mind be in you that was also in him. Stand to your feet right now. If I had a title to the message, God is basically trying to get you out of a system and establish a biblical norm. An expectation that does not rob you of authority but gives it to you. The Bible says it is his good pleasure to give us the kingdom of God. We come together and we rally together just for miracles. Listen, in the Bible they rallied together so they could go out and do them. You see how far behind we are a little bit. But many of us are afraid to step out. Many of us are afraid to be given authority. I remember the first time, I think that was my wife's first time ever shooting a gun. Gave her the 45, took it to a gun range, and I said, here, try this. And she held it. She was nervous, and you know, when she shot it, you would have thought that she was being beat up by the pistol. Some of us are afraid to be given authority because we don't want the responsibility of something being expected out of us. But can I tell you that somebody down the street can care less about whether or not you can articulate really well, or if you're the most eloquent preacher or the most eloquent singer. They can care less about have you went to such and such training, or did you go to such and such as college. They only want to know, have you been with Jesus? They want to know, have you been with Jesus? They've got a museum in Indianapolis in one of the churches that shows like different men, apostolic fathers from the early 1900s, shows you their podiums and their chairs and their pulpits and all that stuff. People are like, man, I'm standing right behind. Brother Andrew Urshan sat in this chair. Man, G.T. Haywood preached right here at this podium. But listen, some of us are more honored to stand behind the podium of a man whose flesh touched it, then we are honored of the fact that the same spirit that rose Jesus Christ from the grave is the same spirit that's on the inside of you. His flesh has no power. Jesus said, the Son of Man doth nothing of himself. He said, I only do that which I see the Father do. It's the Spirit that does the work. That Spirit's in you. And that Spirit's in this house right now. And if you want that Spirit, I want you to lift your hands right now. All over this room. Come on. Put your hands down. Listen. The Bible declares that when the church came under attack and they told them not to preach or teach anymore, they gathered themselves together into a room to pray. Now listen, I have a question. Would you rather me give you $1 million or would you rather me teach you how to make $10 million? You would probably want to be empowered. But if you have the welfare mentality, the give me, give me, give me, then you'll take what you can get for right now and you'll neglect the weightier matters. Church, God wants to give you something bigger. Not just being a part of a good congregation. I'm talking about he wants to do something through you. There are treasures on the other side. What we need to ask God is, Lord, give us a glimpse of what you're trying to take us to. What do you mean? We're trying to build treasures here. We're storing up stuff here. But God said, I want you to get a good glimpse of what I've got for you on the other side. Until it begins to do something in your heart. And then what happens is when we come together in this place, we can do one or two things. We can come here. I can start ministering to people. Pray for the sick. God heals people. Prophesy to a few people. And be like, man, God really used that one brother. Or you can take a moment and say, you know what, Lord? I've been feeling fear. I've been fearful to step out. I've been insecure. And I feel this pressure to try to conform to what's going on in this world. I feel this pressure to try to just go hide myself in the box. I want you to give me more boldness. I want you to give me more power. I want you to give me more authority. Lord, I want to go out. I want to do even more miracles. Lord, I don't want to be able to just come here as a safe haven. I want to go out there and bring the safe haven. I want to go out there and bring the refuge. I want to go out there and bring the deliverance. If that's what you want, I want you to lift your hands up towards heaven. And I want you to begin to call out to God right now. Oh, my mind about you. Hey. Oh, my mind about you. Come on. Come on, because what God has cannot be fit in a building. Come on. What the Lord has cannot be fit. Cannot fit in a building. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on, he's going to shift you from thinking that you have to feel like you're anointed to accepting the fact that you know that you are anointed. Come on. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Come on. Come on, because we can bind spirits from here to Brazil. But if we don't go out and do something, nothing's going to shake. Come on. Come on. Come on, that's it. Keep talking to him. Come on, keep talking to him. Come on, make some decisions. You got to make some choices. What are you going to do with your body? Are you going to let it just sit on the couch? Are you going to go knock on somebody's door? What are you going to do with your body? Are you going to go to where the sick are? Are you only going to go to the places that people call you to? He said, I didn't wait, call you to wait for a phone call. I told you to go. Come on. Oh, yeah, come on. Come on, because God's wanting to fill your spirit with faith. Come on, God wants to fill your spirit with faith, with boldness. Come on, with confidence. Come on. Lord, I don't want to be conformed to this world. I want to take off this system where I'm comfortable with just going to church on Sunday and Wednesday, but not fulfilling the mandate of God Monday through Sunday. Come on. Oh, come on, in the name of Jesus. Oh, come on, in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody's going to get the walking papers. Come on. Come on, somebody's going to step out. Come on. In the name of Jesus. I don't want to be the norm. I don't want to conform, but Lord, transform me. I want to be transformed, God. You got to renew your mind. Come on, you got to think like you're anointed. You got to think like you're in the kingdom of God. You got to think like you're the church that's talked about in the book of Acts. You got to think like you walk with God. You got to think like the Lord is with you. You gotta think like you've got angels on your side. You gotta think like you're a warrior. You gotta think like greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You gotta think like when you lay hands on somebody, he's gonna heal them. You gotta think like it. You gotta know it. The other day when I was driving here, I saw a house, and there was a big Rottweiler that was in this house. And at first I thought, I was like, man, they've got that dog trained. The dog wouldn't go outside of the fence line. But then I realized that what trained that dog was the collar and the electrical fence line. That any time he got close and he crossed that, tried to cross that fence line, it would shock him to the place where he doesn't even think about going anywhere near the fence line. He conformed to the system. Listen, church. There's a fence line. Every church in America, the enemy has attacked and he's put a fence line. And many people have to resist the urge of conforming. Why? Because you can break through. But it might not be everybody breaking through with you. Everybody, we're kind of used to going with the group that's conforming. You've got to go with the Spirit. We say, I've got to step outside of my comfort zone. So you know what? Silver and gold I don't have, but such as I do have, I give unto you. You're like, well, what if he doesn't walk? That's what the fence line has taught you. But if you can get the anointing to come upon that collar or come upon that yoke, then the Lord will destroy that yoke on your life if you get anointed. What do you mean? It's time to get anointed. It's time to get anointed. It's time to get full of the Holy Ghost. I'm not talking about just full of the Holy Ghost if we're talking in tongues and we're just filling the world with all over the floor. I'm talking about full of the Holy Ghost and now you can go out. They came and they got full of the Holy Ghost, not just so they can come in and make sure they made it to heaven. It was because God had a purpose for them. And they couldn't live life without fulfilling the purpose of God. They said, we're not going to conform. They said, Brother Hurt, why don't you raise your hands? I don't know who you are. Lord, in the name of Jesus. What's your name?
Margo.
Okay. Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I speak healing to Sister Margo. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking, Lord, that you would touch everything that concerns Sister Margo, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, I come against every infirmity, Lord God, that has fought her up until this night. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I come against all fear. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I come against all destruction, Lord, that is surrounded. Lord, I'm asking God for deliverance, Lord, that your hand, Lord God, begin to work, Lord, in her life. In the name of Jesus, I'm asking, Lord, that you would give her breakthrough, Lord God. Give her peace. Give her healing, Lord. Tonight, by the power and the authority that's in the name of Jesus, Lord, I rebuke all intimidation, Lord God, that is surrounding her, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I'm asking, Lord, that you would give her peace that surpasseth all understanding. Father, this night, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking God that you would break chains, Lord God, break shackles, Lord God, that are around her life, Lord. I'm asking God that you would open up her eyes, Lord God, that she may see, open up her ears, Lord God, that she may hear, Lord, help her to hear what you're saying, Lord, by the power and the authority that's in the name of Jesus. Lord God, I come against every affliction right now by the power that is in the name of Jesus. Come on, church. Come on, begin to talk to him. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Oh. Lord, in the name of Jesus. The Lord said this night, he said, I want you to no longer see through the lenses of your stripes. He said, no longer see through the lenses of your wounds. He said, but I want you to see through his stripes. He said, I want you to see through his wounds. This night, the Lord said, you're going to begin to forget. You're going to begin to forget tonight. And there's going to be a joy that's going to come over you. This spirit that attacks you in April and in November is going to lift this day by the power and the authority that's in the name of Jesus. When things come to your remembrance, you will rejoice in what the Lord has done. In the name of Jesus, I declare the victory. I saw you, Sister Roberts. I saw you. I saw you sitting on, like on a couch, like on a couch, like a couch that would sit outside. And I saw a car drive off. And I saw you waiting for this car to return. Not just the car, but that which was in the car. You're waiting for it to return. And it never returned. Then I watched something else walk out of the house and get into the car and drove off, waiting for it to return, and it never came back. In your life, you have wrestled with rejection, and you have wrestled with losing things and losing people, and you fear being alone. This night, in the name of Jesus, the Lord says, I'm delivering you from this spirit of fear. This day, in the name of Jesus, the Lord said, I'm going to open up your heart. I'm going to open up your mind. And you're going to see the bigger picture. In the name of Jesus, I come against all fear. Lord, let us see your hand. Let us see your hand. The Lord said, my hand is working. He said, but you got to quit looking back and look at his hand. This night, by the power of the authority, that's in my soul, that's in the name of Jesus. Lord, we declare the victory tonight in Jesus' name. Come on. Come on. Many of us get frustrated. I heard someone say, I feel like I'm walking in unfamiliar territory. Listen, just because the territory that you're in right now in your life may be unfamiliar to you does not mean that God's not familiar with it. The Lord said, I am the author and the finisher of your faith. He said, I've declared your end from the beginning. The Lord's already made a pathway. He's already made a way of escape. You keep looking at the path and you keep looking at what's in front of you. But God said, I already know what's behind it. And you got to understand that what you've got to do is you've got to put more confidence in the one that you don't see versus the things that you do see. Why? Because what you don't see is greater than the block, than the roadblock, than the stumbling block, and the opposition that is standing in your pathway. Instead of spending your life thinking about how things can go wrong, I want you to spend your faith and put your faith to work and start thinking about how God can make some stuff right. You're either going to deploy your faith or you're going to either deploy your fear. But if you deploy your fear, you're going to live in captivity. But if you deploy faith, you're going to have the victory. You're going to come out on top. You're going to bring down stronghold by the power and the authority. Come on, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, church. You've got power with God. Come on, you've got power with God. Come on, you've got power with God. You're going to deploy your faith tonight. Come on, you're getting ready to call faith to the forefront and say, faith, it's time to work. Come on, it's time to bring and recall that word that God spoke to you. Come on, church. It's time to bring that word to the forefront and say, but the Lord has spoken this. And the Lord has spoken that. Come on, church. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. He said, if you have faith the grain of a mustard seed, you will speak unto the mountain and command the mountain to move, and it will do what you say. Come on. Come on. Anybody in this room, you got an infirmity in your body. If you have an infirmity in your body, I want you to raise your hands. You have an infirmity in your body. I want you. You have an infirmity? What's wrong? You have breast cancer. How long have you had it? Or how long have they said you had it? Or have you found out? All right. I was in a service in Columbus, Indiana, and there was about six women. They all had tumors and all that stuff on the breast. One by one, one of them had cancer. One by one, they all went to the bathroom. And when they came out of the bathroom, what was there, many of them had many tumors and stuff there. When they came out the bathroom, all of them had removed themselves. When they went back to the doctor said that what they saw on the screen was no longer there. It disappeared. I've come to tell you tonight that God is a healer. God is a healer. But like I've told you, I want you to surrender. I want you to surrender. Sometimes we are afraid of stepping out in the places that we're not familiar with. I think the older that we get, the more comfortable we are in staying in things that we understand and that we're familiar with. Oftentimes we become nervous when we have people outside of a doctor that understands us more than we understand ourselves. God knows us. And if you're going to walk with Him, you've got to be willing to let Him be the guide. Not guiding Him and directing Him into your affairs, but letting Him guide you and directing you into His affairs and out of your affairs. Would you raise your hands right now? I'm going to pray for healing. I'm going to pray for healing. I'm going to pray that all the cancer is gone. I'm going to pray that you get a good doctor's report. I'm going to pray that when they take and do another test, I'm going to pray that when they do the next test, that what was there, I'm praying that it will be gone. That's what we're going to pray for. We're going to believe God for that. We're going to believe God for a miracle. All right? But what I want you to do as well is I want you to learn how to do these two things, forgive and forget. Sometimes people say they forgive, but then they say, I won't forget. And the thing is, forgiveness is a supernatural work, and forgetting is as well. Jesus said when it came down to our sin, He said, I will remember them no more. He said, I will separate them as far as the east is from the west. Sometimes when we remember what people have done to us and we refuse to forget, it can bring affliction upon us. It can afflict our minds. It can afflict our bodies. It can afflict the hearts. It can afflict us. Why? Because we refuse to let go of the affliction or let go of what someone else has done. So it afflicts our spirit. What I want you to do is I want you to say, Lord, I want you to help me to let it all go. Give me a love for people that have hurt me. Give me a love for my enemies. Give me a love for those that used me. All right? Because that's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing someone really taking advantage of a good situation. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I want you to look up towards heaven. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to begin to talk to God. I want you to begin to talk to Him. We're going to repent. We're going to ask God, Lord, for forgiveness. I ask God, Lord, take away everything, Lord, that doesn't belong. Come on, that's it, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I want to be clean, Lord. I want to be pure. Lord, I want to be pure in heart. The Bible says none but the pure in heart shall see God. Lord, I want my heart to be pure. That's it, in the name of Jesus. That's it. That's it. Come on, that's it. There you go. Have you ever received the Holy Ghost? You ever received the Holy know, I figured that. Yeah. Right. That's why I was telling you that you got to leave. When I was talking about your other methods and all that stuff, that's why I was saying you got to leave that stuff alone. You see what I'm saying? Because what somebody else has taught you and stuff is not God's way. You see what I'm saying? The way somebody else has taught you is not God's way. Just because you can see things that other people might not see, and because you may know things that other people might not know, doesn't mean you're getting it from God. You can be spiritual and not walking with God. Every spirit that makes people spiritual is not God. God's spirit is holy. And you can be spiritual without the Holy Spirit. All right? Huh? All right. What God wants is God wants to give you the Holy Spirit, but you've got to neglect all the other spirits. All the mediums that you have opened yourself up to are mediums that separate you from God. All right? They're not bringing you closer to God. They're separating you from God. God is one spirit. All right? God is only one. There's only one God, and He is a spirit. All right? And His character is holy. All right? And what the Holy Spirit wants to do is He wants to free you from all the other spirits that you've been entangled in. Because those spirits that you have been entangled in, those are spirits posing as God. But there's only one God. Okay? He has cast those spirits out of heaven. He has cast them before the earth. They're here now. All right? Those spirits, they kind of just rule in the earth. They are the ones that have different religions. They are the gods of all these other religions and things that you have sought after. But listen, every spirit that you have submitted yourself to is subject to the name of Jesus, okay? Every spirit that you have submitted yourself to is subject to the power of the Holy Ghost. And none of them have the authority to stop you from getting baptized in the name of Jesus. Why you need to be baptized is because you've got sin on your life, all right? The spirits that are on your life are going to drive you to hell, all right? But the Holy Spirit is there to bring you from that, all right? But what's going to keep you, what's going to separate you from the sin is you've got to be washed. You got to have your sins washed. You've got sin on your life. You came into this world a sinner. And in order to get sin off of your life, you got something has to die. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And because you don't have the right blood to redeem you from your own sin, because your blood isn't pure, what happened was Jesus had to come to earth so that He could shed His blood so that He can redeem you. He was the perfect sacrifice. All right? It took a sacrifice to redeem you. And what happens is just because redemption is here, the way that we reap that and the way that we receive that is we have to renounce and we have to reject the sin, the past, the lifestyle that we had, and embrace what God has for us. And it's when we do that, you know what's going to happen? Then God comes in. And God not only washes our sins away, but then He fills us with the Holy Ghost. When He fills us with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, immediately there is a transformation that takes place with your soul. Your soul is set free. Right now, you're in more bondage than what you were in when you were born into this world. But if you ask God for deliverance, not only will He heal you, but He will save you. Why? Because you can walk out of here and your cancer will be gone, but your sin will remain. You follow me? And what you need is you need deliverance. You need the Holy Ghost and you need your sins washed. And when you do this and when He does this, you cannot go back to any idolatrous connections and worship that you have walked away from this day. That means everything that you walk away from, you have a decision to stay away from it. And some things may come and knock at the door again. But that's why you got to make sure that you get full of the Holy Ghost. And say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to walk with you so that when the enemy comes knocking at the door, you're full of the Holy Ghost and you're not just empty waiting for him to come back. You follow me? You want the Holy Ghost? All right. Right now, we've repented a little bit, but I want you to repent some more. Right now, I want you to renounce every spirit and every spirit, every stronghold, every spirit that you've introduced into your life. I want you to renounce it right now. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to look up towards heaven and I want you to say, Jesus, I renounce every spirit that I've allowed into my life. I renounce every religion that I've embraced outside of your spirit. Jesus, today I'm asking you to forgive me of everything in my life. I am bound, but I want to be free. Set me free today. Deliver me, Lord, from out of all of my sins. Forgive me, Lord, of everything in my life. Everything that I've done, where I'm at, I renounce it today in the name of Jesus. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. Wash my sins away. In the name of Jesus. Come on, begin to worship him. Now I want you to begin to call on the name of the Lord. As you begin to call on him, what you're doing is, when you're calling on Jesus, Jesus is a spirit. When you're calling on the name of the Lord, you're calling for his spirit to come and enter into you. The Holy Ghost comes when you call on the name of the Lord. So right now I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to begin to call on the name of Jesus. And as you begin to call on him, he's going to come down. And when I lay my hands on your head, he's going to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Come on, that's it. Go ahead and call on him right now. Come on, that's it in the name of Jesus. Come on, that's it in the name of Jesus. That's it. There you go. That's it. Come on. Come on, that's it. Come on, that's it. Come into my spirit, Lord. Come into me right now. Come on, in the name of Jesus. That's it. Come on, there it is. Come on, that's it. Come on, that's it. Keep talking, church. Keep praying right now. Name of Jesus. Come on, that's it in the name of Jesus. She's talking in tongues. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Come on, I'm a soko yalabaka. Church, come on in the name of Jesus. Come on in the name of Jesus. Come on, the Holy Ghost is real. The
The Holy Ghost is a deliverer. The Holy Ghost is a resurrector. The Holy Ghost is a regulator.
Lord, in the name of Jesus, that's it. Come on, in the name of Jesus, I curse every infirmity, every affliction on her soul, on her heart, on her mind, on her body, in the name of Jesus. I command every stronghold right now to be released from her life this night in the name of Jesus. I command every spirit that's in her house that followed her here to leave by the power and the authority that's in the name of Jesus. I command it so tonight by the power that's in the name of Jesus. I release you right now in the name of Jesus. I command you to be whole tonight in the name of Jesus. I rebuke every spirit. I rebuke every sickness. I rebuke every disease by the power and the authority that's in the name of Jesus. So come on, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, that's it. That's it. Come on. Come on by the power in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, remove all cancer out of her body. In the name of Jesus. I command cancer to leave right now. I command it to leave out of your blood. I command it to leave out of your breasts. I command every cell of cancer to leave your body right now by the power and the authority that's in the name of Jesus. I command it not to ever return back by the power and the authority that's in the Mashoko Yelabasa. In the name, that's it. That's it. Let it go. There it is. That's it. Let it go. That's it. Let it go. Monday may show you la baha. That's it. In the name of Jesus. That's it. Just release it. There you go. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. But God's gonna. That's. That's it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's it. Thank you, Jesus. Sister, you got water?
Yes.
All right. You need to get your sins washed away tonight. All right. In Jesus' name. May I lift your hands? Amanda Basoko. Come on, Matthew, in the name of Jesus. Ila la man robo soko liyalaba. Well, everybody. There is a spirit. I for some reason, in this area, I see something like kind of coming over from Pennsylvania, and it's like a what we would identify as people being insane, like insanity. And I see it like coming over like a bridge, coming from Pennsylvania over into this area. And through that, there are people that are seeking other mediums to try to deal with the spirit of insanity that's inflicted people in y'all's area. Now, I'm not saying I feel like y'all are insane, but this is just what I see, all right? So right now, I want you to lift your hands right now. And right now, we're going to pray for a revival to happen among those people. In the name of Jesus, Lord, tonight, Lord God, I'm asking, Lord, I come against the spirit of insanity. I come against that spirit, Lord, that wants to bring confusion tonight. By the power and the authority that's in the name of Jesus. Lord God, I come against that spirit, Lord God, that makes people feel like they're going to lose their mind. This night in the name of Jesus, this is the kind of spirit that will drive people out of town. Folks say they kind of unsettled, they got to leave. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, we take authority right now and we command that spirit to no longer have authority in this area. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, I'm asking God that when people come into this church, when they come into this church, let the spirit of insanity break off of them. Lord, by the power and the authority that's in the name of Jesus, Lord God, I came to deliverance right now in the name of Jesus. Come against every mocking spirit in the name of Jesus. Come on, you got to get the mind of Christ. You got to meditate on the scripture. Come on, you got to meditate on the word of God. I want everybody to lift your hands. I want you to say, Lord, deliver me and protect my home from the spirit of perversion. The Bible says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. There's something that happens to your mind when you do the wrong things with your body. When you do the wrong stuff with your body. And people are ushering things into their life because of what they're doing with their body. I want you to say, Lord, help me to make my tabernacle holy. Help me to present my body holy and acceptable unto you, which is my reasonable service. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Come on, if you've been engaging in any perverted activity, come on, right now you need to repent of that. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Right now I want you to say, Lord, deliver me. Come on, in the name of Jesus. I want you to talk to him. Come on, and it doesn't even have to be sexual. It can be some other stuff. Perversion is when you call right wrong and wrong right. It is a twisted spirit. It twists lies and trying to turn it into truth. And it twists truth and trying to turn it into lies. Come on, but in the name of Jesus, the Lord said, I want to give you a sound mind. Come on, he said, I want to make your mind mind sound by the power that's in the name of Jesus. Some of you have been abused. Some of you have been taken advantage of. And some of you, that spirit crept in that way. But I've come to tell you that when you submit yourself to the Holy Ghost, that spirit is no longer Lord over your life. In the name of Jesus. Some of you use perversion as your go-to method. It's your go-to drug. When things go bad, you go to perversion. When things go wrong, you go to perversion. Your perversion is your go-to method. But God said, I want you to make the secret place your go-to method. The Bible declares that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved. Last time you ran to perversion, but this time you're going to call on the name of the Lord and you're going to run to the strong tower.
In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, that's it. In the name of Jesus. Come on, in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Anybody else in this room sick? It's 9:21.
Anybody on medicine? You taking medicine for something? Get up here. That's what he's talking about.
That's an
infirmity. Yeah. There you go. Bring some order to it. Let's bring some order to it. Where's your infirmity? Raise your hands. Oh, what's your name? Donna. You married? Husband, come here. Donna, won't you? I want to minister to you. The power of life and death lies in your tongue. What you say in the court of, what they say that when you're taken into custody, what you say can and will be used against you. When we speak from the flesh, it will work against us. But when we speak by the Spirit, it works for us. I see you getting very frustrated. And then when you get frustrated, you just say whatever you want to say. And you call it venting. But what you're venting, the Bible says, is not what goes into a man that defiles him. It's what comes out of him. That's what defiles him. So what happens is we bring things on ourselves by the things that we say. And I'm saying this not just to her, but there's other people in this room that if you will really listen to what I'm talking about, you will notice that some of what you're dealing with, you might be bringing on yourself by the things that you're saying. I want you to do something for me, all right? I want you to start seeing life through the will of God. By the way you want things, but by the way He wants things. You can't get reckless with your speech. I'm not saying you're cussing or anything like that, but you can't get reckless with your speech. Words like, well, you know, I just don't care, or, you know, well, then I guess I'm just going to die. Listen, you got to understand, you have to speak according to the will of God. But you lift your hands. Lord, tonight in the name of Jesus, Lord, I come against this spirit of confusion and frustration, this fighting spirit. I speak peace to our heart and our mind, and I rebuke the infirmity. Lord, let the joy of the Lord. The Lord said, I'm going to deliver you from the spirit of anger. You've got anger, you're hurt, you're angry at one of your parents. Tonight, in the name of Jesus, the Lord said, I'm rooting this thing out of your heart. By the power and the authority that's in the name of Jesus. I command you to be free. Tonight. Jesus. Sister, what's wrong? Hold on. May I lift your hands? Thank you, Jesus. What's wrong? And how long have you had this infirmity?
Migraine since 2015.
Okay.
And I've also been having like
constant nightmares. Yeah, I can see that. How long have you been, you got this thing on your wrist. How long have you had this infirmity? Your venous, what?
My tibial venous only, what
blood is stuck in my lower legs.
Hey, Tasha, what is she saying?
It's pooling in her legs. Blood pools in her legs, her bottom legs.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay, so, and that has not always been there. All right, I didn't think so. She come stand right here. I want to talk to you. Listen, church, what you say can bring infirmities over you, and also the things that you do can bring infirmities to you. I'm telling you, there's something that I see and I feel in this area that you see that is in a culture of it's like an insane asylum, and there's a lot of witchcraft around this area, and sometimes people don't realize that the stuff that you engage in and the things that you're saying, it is prompted by some coven somewhere, and when you submit yourself to those actions, there's fruit that comes from it. If you submit yourself to the word of the Lord, you produce the fruit that comes from that word. But when you submit your body to something, or when you submit your tongue to something, there's going to be some fruit that's going to come from it. And you may have done it before. You may have done it in Seattle. You may have said it in Texas. Or you may have done it in Florida. You might have said it in Ethiopia. But when you get to a particular area and you submit yourself to a spirit, what you may be thinking there's just normal life. But you at that moment may be submitting yourself to a spirit. And when you submit yourself to that, there's going to be fruit that's going to come from it. I want you to lift your hands. I want to talk to you. All right. What is your name? Elizabeth. All right. So all that's going on, was your speech like that too? All right. When did you get the palsy?
Since birth.
2000 and what?
No, since I was born 1989.
So you were born in 1989. Okay, so you're, what, 30? Okay, all right. Would you raise your hands? This night, the Bible says present your bodies a living sacrifice. All right? I want to talk to you. Everybody say manipulation. When we allow people to manipulate us, we allow people to take advantage of us. And that's what I've seen in the past, and doors have opened when you've allowed people to manipulate you, and you've allowed people to take advantage of you. And the thing is, you do this because you're trying to fill this void that is there because of, like what I said, somebody else's rejection. This night, the Lord said, I want your heart to be full of the love of God. Sometimes, if we're not careful, we will invite the wrong people and the wrong things in our life just to fill a little hole. But what has to happen is we've got to learn how to get refreshed and renew our strength and to renew our joy, just like he renews his mercy for us every morning. What are you saying? It's going to take a lifetime of consistency. And as you begin to do that, he's going to stabilize you. We don't take authority over this thing. All right? But you've got to keep people out. You got to keep doors shut. And you've got to make sure that when you, you've got to make sure that you don't allow people to send you on an emotional roller coaster just so that they can get what they want. Would you lift your hands? This night in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we take authority, Lord, over the condition in the blood. In the name of Jesus, I'm asking, Lord, that you would remove this spirit of manipulation, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I'm asking God that you would help her, Lord, to make it where she stops allowing people to take advantage of her. There are times where you know exactly what they're doing, but you let them do it anyway. In the name of Jesus tonight, Lord, I'm asking God that you would deliver her and heal her of this infirmity. I command all the migraines to cease. I command your blood to circulate by the power and the authority that's in the name of Jesus. I come against every spirit right now in the name of Jesus. Every spirit that has gained ownership of you, I come against a spirit of fear. I come against a spirit of intimidation. I come against that spirit that rests in your womb. I come against that dark spirit right now by the power and the authority that's in the name of Jesus. I speak deliverance right now over you, over your life. But you've got to walk. Come on. You've got to walk. Come on, in the name of Jesus. You've got to walk. Come on. You can't mourn over who left you. Come on, you got to rejoice over what remains. Come on, in the name of Jesus. You cannot allow the past to influence your future. You cannot allow what people did not do to stop you from what God said he's going to do. In the name of Jesus. By the power that's in the name of Jesus, I command you to be delivered. In Jesus' name, present your body a living sacrifice. Present your mind a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. I come against every spirit of confusion in the name of Jesus. Let there be clarity. For some reason, it's like I see you being a magnet to people that fool with witchcraft. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we took authority over it. Let it be a magnet for the things of the Holy Ghost, things that are pure, Lord. Give her discernment, spiritual discernment. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to be a magnet for the favor of God. In the name of Jesus, I come against every spirit that has attacked this church. Come on, in the name of Jesus. If you have anything in your house that is a gift or anything that is not of God, get rid of it. I don't care how sentimental it is. Get rid of it. Lift your hands, church. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking God that you would raise up a prophetic anointing in the midst of these people, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I'm asking, Lord, that the people, Lord, that you would raise up a prophetic anointing a spirit of discernment, Lord God, in this house, Lord, among several people in this church. In the name of Jesus, I'm asking, Lord, that you begin to speak to them in dreams, speak to them in visions, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, that they can identify where the enemy is sending decoys and plants in by the power and the authority that's in the name of Jesus. Lord God, I'm asking, Lord, that you will open up the eyes, Lord God, of every believer that's in this house. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray a hedge around this church. Tonight, by the power and the authority that's in the name of Jesus, we cut off right now every infirmity. We cut off every curse right now by the power and the authority that's in the name of Jesus. I speak healing right now. We release healing right now by the power that is in the name of Jesus. My brother, what's wrong? Sugar diabetes, high blood pressure. Lord, let my brother be able to eat all the cakes and donuts. Would you raise your hands? I'm going to pray that God gets this, is able to accelerate your, to get the weight off. Accelerate your metabolism. I want you to start resting. Your metabolism has gone down because of not just of age, but because of stress. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I'm asking God that you help my brother be a good steward over his time. The Lord said, you're getting ready to step into a season that is going to require wisdom, not strength, but wisdom. As you begin to step into the season where your wisdom is going to be utilized, your strength is going to return. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we take authority right now over the blood pressure, over the condition with his pancreas. Lord, I'm asking God that you would give him a new pancreas. In the name of Jesus, this year I'm asking, Lord, that you would shut the mouth of the lion. I'm asking God that you would come against every lie. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, that is spoken to him and even about him. Lord, that hinders and wants to hinder and influence those that he comes in contact with. In the name of Jesus, I'm asking, Lord, that he steps out to the power and the authority of the Holy Ghost, Lord, like never before. Give him beauty for ashes, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I'm asking, Lord, that your healing power would not just flow through him or in him, but let it flow through him and out of him, Lord. Let him be a conduit for your glory, Lord. In the name of Jesus, when he lays hands on people, when he sends prayer calls, or when he speaks the word, Lord, sicknesses flee, Lord, by the power that is in the name of Jesus. Let his blood pressure regulate. Let his blood rate regulate. Give him a new pancreas, Lord. And I'm asking God that it would be more disciplined with things that come to his mind. Help him, Lord, to just let stuff go. Help him not to meditate too long on thoughts that don't come from you. Because it's decoyed. It's like fear decoyed. This is what the Lord has helped me with. I want to talk to you. This is what the Lord has helped me with. Is that I'm a person that has a tendency that when things come, I want to figure stuff out. And I find myself actually trying to figure stuff out, and I can spend like hours trying to figure something out, and I can shut myself out, tell everybody, like, leave me alone, don't say nothing to me, because there's something I'm trying to really figure out. But while I'm thinking I'm getting close and I'm ruling stuff out, I'm actually ruling things in. And when I'm ruling things in, I'm bringing things in that actually is not even really the truth, but it's fear. All right. The Lord spoke to me one day. He said, George, I want you to let me reveal to you. Not you trying to seek this thing out, the things that are going on, but let me bring it to you. And if I don't bring anything to you after you've asked me, if it doesn't come quick enough, just have peace that I've got it under control. And when that happens, things will regulate. But sometimes, you know, when you're not the person, when you're the guy that, you know, at least for myself, and that, you know, may not be just for him, but for other people, sometimes you gotta let God speak, bring it to you, instead of you trying to seek and chase something down. We try to rationalize, we try to reason, we try to figure this thing out. But the carnal mind is smaller than the spiritual mind. And even if you got the power of the Holy Ghost and all your discernment and all this stuff, when you hit a brick wall, you hit a brick wall. And sometimes you got to learn how to respect the wall that's in front of you and say, all right, I'm going to let God bring this thing. Because what happens is usually during seasons like that, that's a season that you should be resting. You ever notice that when Jesus was in the boat, he rests sometimes at the men's most inconvenient time. Listen, when God is telling us to rest, it's usually the time that your flesh wants to figure out how we're going to get out of something. That's the season of rest. And then what happens is we stay up all night when we should be resting. And then what happens is when it's time for the season to change, you know what? We're riding on fumes. Jesus rested. God rested on the seventh day. And to be honest with you, we don't really do too much talking about this. But really, it was on the eighth, on that following Monday, that he then takes the man and he brings the beast before him and says, I want you to name him. And it was the following week that he takes the rib out of the man's side and then makes the woman. So what are you saying, Brother Hurt? I'm saying that many of us want to try to fit everything in the first week when God wants you to rest and just save it for the next week. I want you to say, Lord, help me to save it until next week. Would you lift your hands? Who else was it that had an infirmity? Come here, sister. What's wrong? Okay. Neuropathy. Diabetes. Okay. And what's yours? Got a question. What are you going to do when God heals you? Say it again. Listen, it's great when we come into a closet and we tell just God and say, Lord, I just want to thank you for what you've done. But listen, the Lord really loves it when you brag on him. When you go out there and you tell as many people as possible what the Lord has done. Listen, you've got infirmities, you've got infirmities, you've got an infirmity. If he moves your infirmity, there's an old lady in Indianapolis. She's at one of the Spanish churches I preach at. And this old lady, she's about 80-something years old. Every single Saturday, you will find that woman, I believe, on Washington Street. And she will pass out tracts. She is not the most healthy woman. She doesn't even have a car. But she is so determined that she is going to reach the lost, that she makes sure that people bring her to a location every single Saturday. And you will find that woman, whether it's winter, spring, summer, or fall. She is doing a lot with a little bit. What are you doing now? And are you going to do more when he heals you? Because if I've got a friend that is a very well-off individual, and he doesn't just give money because people want money. He wants to know what you're going to do with it and what is it going to produce. Is it going to be worth the investment? If a person says they want a new pancreas, all they're going to do is just eat cheeseburgers and just kill it and not work out and just, then why should God heal you? But if you're going to use what God has given you for the glory of God, then that makes sense. So what God is looking for is he's looking for a lifestyle change. Now you may say, well, Brother Hurd, I'm not 25 anymore. Listen, Sarah wasn't either. But God wants to use you until the day you take your last breath. Just raise your hands. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking God that you would make my sister whole. I command this ear to be open tonight. I command it to open up wide and click. There it is. There it is. That's it. I felt that. That's it in the name. That's it in the name of Jesus. That's it. That's it in the name of Jesus. I command the neuropathy to leave right now. I command every infirmity in your body to be dismissed right now by the power. There it is, and the authority that's in the name of Jesus. Behold. I command all your strength to return back. Every ounce of pain in your body be gone now. Right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke every infirmity in her body. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking God that you would give her new blood vessels, give her new nerves, give her a makeover. I rebuke the spirit of infirmity. Lord, help them to change the words, them to walk by faith. In the name of Jesus, make her whole tonight. In Jesus' name. Lord, I'm asking God that you would touch my sister. I speak healing to her, Lord, tonight. In the name of Jesus, I'm asking, Lord, that you would make her whole. Strengthen her, Lord. I rebuke every infirmity in her body. And I'm asking God that you would give her strength she hadn't had in 20 years. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Pastor. Come on, everybody, lift your hands and worship the Lord. Church, I think it was you I was talking to about how we have to make sure that we're careful about the things that we speak. The Bible declares, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak, and out of the heart flows all the issues of life. You want to see the issues that are in your life, it is revealed by the words that come out of your mouth from your heart. If there's any issues in your life, it comes from your heart sometimes. And sometimes we release it by the words that we speak out of our mouth. I want us to be a good steward over what we speak. Even in the midst, some people say, man, I only say that stuff when I'm under pressure. That's why you need to speak the word of the Lord. Because if you're under pressure, that means that there is a testing or a trying of your faith. Jesus was tried in the wilderness. The Bible says he was there for 40 days and 40 nights. And when he was pushed to the edge, you know what happened? He spoke the word. Quit speaking on the behalf of your frustration. And stand on the behalf of the word. And let the word speak for you. And then what happens is there's a transformation. And seasons begin to change. God's changing seasons in here. God's changing lives in here. God's changing families and homes and marriages and friends and in this church. But the ultimate is not just you getting healed of a sickness. It's not just you getting a prophecy. But you have a responsibility to the word of the Lord to embrace what he says about you. And you cannot esteem the pains that you have experienced in life or the tragedies or the things that you're going through currently. You cannot esteem that above what he has spoken. That means that what I have to do is like this. You know, when I go to a funeral and we're on the platform, they have the preacher kind of come down. And we'll come and we'll stand before the casket. And the mother, family will come and stand before the casket. We'll stand there and we'll be there to shut that casket. Sometimes we got to shut the casket of our past. We got to shut the casket over the frustration. We have to shut the casket over the way that we would respond if we could have our way. And say, you know what? I'm getting ready to bury this old man and let him stay gone. And when you do that and you walk forward and you walk on, you know what's going to happen? You're going to see the glory of God. And it's then you're going to begin to see what life is truly like. Why? Because you have withstood the test of time. You're in great transition. But you've got to take your mind and you've got to say, you know what? There's some people in this room. You need to go home and you need to say, you know what? I'm getting ready to forgive some people. I'm getting ready to make some phone calls. I'm getting ready to make some apologies. I'm getting ready to talk to some people and say, you know what? I think it's time. It's time for me to bury this thing. Because listen, I've seen it where people get ready to die. And I've seen it where folks are dying. And as they were getting ready to die, it was like they started calling for people. And said, hey, I want to talk to you. I just want to apologize. You know why? Because the things that raise our blood pressure, the things that stress us out, the things that make us angry, the things that make us hurt, things that make us cry, none of that stuff really matters on the day you're dying. That's why Paul said, I die daily. If you were getting ready to take your last breath, how would you live? How would you live the last few hours of your last breath? Before your last breath, and you knew it was coming. You probably will live in peace and you will live with a great expectation. If you're going to die daily, I want you to start living with this expectation that, you know what? I'm going to let this go. It's easy to forgive someone when you're dead or when you're dying. I remember one time a woman, she, you know, people started telling, you know, one woman, she was upset because her grandson, she's like, Royce, you never gave me that $5. She was, you know, she was a nice woman, but she remembered that $5. I don't think she died holding on to it. But what I'm saying is when you're dying out to yourself, you know, somebody come tell you something, you're like, man, listen, it's fine. You know, if you break something, you ever go over, you know, old person's house, like if, you know, you go over to your mom and dad's house with your kids and your kids break something. If you would have broken it, your mom and dad would have killed you, but your kids broke it. It's like mom and dad's, oh, don't worry about that. That don't mean nothing to me. It's old anyway. You got to start thinking that about your life. So you know what? I'm not getting right. Listen, don't. When people come and apologize, you should be full of joy to forgive them. So you know what, man? Listen, I love you. I forgive you. And move forward. Why? Because life is nothing but a vapor. You don't want to spend the last days of your life fighting to hold on to something that you need to let go of. Amen? Amen. Put your hands together and worship the Lord.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Truly, we have been blessed tonight. But we got one more night that we can go out of here and talk to somebody else about coming and being transformed by the renewing of their mind. Amen. We want to baptize you in Jesus' name. Take a few moments. Take her down, get her ready, and we'll take care of that in Jesus' name. God bless you. If you got to go, take out of here. Amen.